Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Education Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. Got to go to the website, TotalTutor.net, to find out more information, and also follow me on Twitter, Total Tutor. If you want to see me connect with many celebrities all the time on Twitter, really I do. You just go ahead and follow me, and you'll see the fun conversations, especially the celebrity we've been conversating on Twitter. And you saw how I have two good friends of Housewives now. So I want to welcome to the program Mary Ammons from Real Housewives DC. Mary, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Neil. Who else do you know that's a housewife?
Oh, see, now you're catching me off guard, and it'll come to me in a second. I don't know if you saw the tweet I had. And Leah Black from Real Housewives of Miami. I interviewed her last week. It's going up all over the place, and we're looking to possibly have another interview in March, and she wants me to come on to cover a red carpet event in Miami in April. So we'll see what happens.
Very nice. She is a great girl. I have not met her personally, but we've gone back and forth, communicated a few times, and I know Kat, my castmate, is good friends with hers, and I know she's a really positive person doing some good stuff in Miami.
Well, she is, and that's why, come on, you're not promoting anything that's good for people, then my celebrity show might not be for you, because, again, it's all about causes and helping. We talk about your projects and things like that, but, you know, it is what it is. But she really enjoyed it, and I'm hoping we'll see what happens. But, Mary, I know that some cool things are happening. I'm really excited that we're going to have you on a monthly basis on the network to kind of, because you have so many different projects coming up. And the newest one is a great cause. Tell us about it.
I was just signed on as the national spokesperson for an organization called Ticks for Cause. And that's called, it's spelled T-I-X for the number cause. And their tagline is, it's a company with a big idea and a big heart, which I love. That was a big hook for me. But it's a ticket exchange platform that links purchasers to over 7 million tickets. To benefit, 100% of the proceeds go to deserving, worthy causes. So I'm really excited to be out spreading the word about that, as well as still continuing my work with Labels for Love and supporting Girl Power to Cure, some big things in the works there. A fashion show coming up this year. Not sure if I'm going to do it in the spring or in early fall. Working on that and working on a designer. But a lot's happening. And I mean, the thing is I love that I'm going to be on every month, Neil, because I'm in a whole new phase of things, a lot of things just really opening up to me over the last few months. And I feel like this whole new positive energy that's come since 2013 has turned. And so I'm really excited to be able to report on just the stuff that's just going to take off and blossom. Every time I speak to you,
well, and
that's me throwing positive words out to the universe that it's gonna, you know, come to fruition.
Well, I'm hoping so, especially when you're going to talk about it. But I want to get into Ticks for Cause for a second. That's a fantastic when you were telling me a little bit more about the organization, because I think the fact of the matter is that people purchase tickets online, it's going to go to that cause, the entire thing, that proceeds. That's a fantastic idea.
That's right. And they've just partnered with a huge ticket outlet, which is the reason they brought me on, is they were a much more smaller sort of grassroots organization based out of Chicago. And now that they've partnered with this big ticket outlet, they have a huge exposure and an opportunity to really have access to millions of tickets to benefit causes. And I am also going to be helping them bring on some larger sort of big brand charities as well. That's one of my roles, is to get some of the bigger name charities involved, just to bring about more awareness and to bring more, just to drive more ticket sales that are going to just benefit more causes. So, and the thing I love about it is that you could even donate your tickets. If you have, say, like a corporate box that, I mean, and this is actually where this whole organization started, is that there are so many unused tickets that at all these different sporting events and different music events that just go unused. And the couple that founded the organization decided that there really is no reason that we can't promote ticket sales of unused tickets to benefit charities. And so that's basically the premise of how it all started. And I'm just excited to help grow this whole concept, because I think it's a genius business model, and I think it's an easy way for a nonprofit organization to sign up. Because a lot of times, and I have to say this personally speaking, when you have a charity organization, a lot of times people will just donate tickets to an auction item or for an auction item or for another reason, because they think that you have an opportunity to sell tickets.
Yes.
When you don't really. So this way, you as a nonprofit organization can sign up and upload your tickets and then blast it out to your constituents or whoever follows you and say, please, you know, we have these awesome seats to the Wizards game, and, you know, support our cause. But the other thing that I love about it, too, is if you as a purchaser, you have an option of what charity you want to support. So, I mean, and they have hundreds and hundreds of different charities that are worthy on their website.
Well, I think that's great in a lot of ways because, like you said, if you have a corporate box and you have other things, projects to do, you can go ahead and give out tickets to this organization, knowing that it's going to help raise money. And then everyone gets involved in this, and then the bigger the events become, the bigger events.
Yeah.
I had a guy, expert on, that was talking about how to land Super Bowl tickets. Wouldn't it be great if at one point Ticks for a Cause will be involved with Super Bowl and all the other major events, thanks to people being willing to give their time and talent, and especially their tickets for things. And I think that's exciting. And so you must be really good at raising money. It sounds like it in a lot of ways.
You know what? It's funny. I, for the longest time, because I've grown up doing this, my dad had me as his executive director of his foundation that raised money for the Lombardi Cancer Center at Georgetown University, called the Vincent T. Lombardi Foundation. And for the longest time, I thought I really didn't do that very well. I really had a hard time because I'm kind of non-confrontational. I don't like to be told no very easily. But as I've grown, and I'm sure my level of confidence and everything has increased just with having results and being able to raise money now. And because of my passion behind the cause that I'm raising money for, I definitely have become pretty good at it. And I make it as gracious as possible, but it's a lot of people have a hard time saying no.
So the excitement, when is Ticks for a Cause going to launch? When are you looking this to come into being, when you're going to be promoting it?
They've just launched they redid their website over the last month, and it's all active. It's ticksforcause.com, and that's TIX4cause.com.
All right, fantastic. I'll end up make sure we put that link up on the description of the show. Now, Mary, after that, you're like, oh, I'm like, wow, okay, you're busy. It's so great. We definitely need these monthly phone calls to kind of get things together and be your personal interviewer. I like it, of the stars. That should be my new label. You know, they come to me before they come to other people because, you know, I'll ask the right questions. But tell us, I hear now you're saying there's some possibilities of some new projects. I know everyone still wants Real Housewives of D.C. to come back on the air, and we're going to have to keep flooding Twitter with this and specifically saying, come on, bring it back. But there might be some other opportunities, right?
Yes. Neil, I have to tell you, I've been doing a few interviews lately, and that has been the main question is what is your opinion about why it wasn't brought back, and also, would you do it again? And my first answer to the first question is, we really don't know. We never really told. We can only assume that the whole White House incident probably caused a lot of legal problems and different liability problems for the network. So we're just kind of leaving it at that. And I'm just excited to have had that opportunity and that platform and exposure to expose my charity on a national level and just get myself out there as a philanthropist. But I also have a real passion for being in front of the camera and delivering a message. And I am a trained actor, but I've figured out on this reality show that I'm much better, and I've become much more alive and in sync with myself when I am myself on camera. And so I've been approached by a couple of different projects to be to be sort of a super mom on TV. And I'm flattered and just honored by that opportunity, because I'm far from being an expert super mom, but I feel like, having grown up as the oldest of seven children and raised my own five children, and you know how it is because you have a gaggle of kids yourself, Bill.
Yes, I do.
It is part of me. Raising kids and nurturing kids and running a family is just innate for me. And a lot of people, and I've learned a lot over the years. I've studied a lot about what works and what doesn't work. I currently have a real passion for an organization called Love and Logic Institute. And I don't know if you know about it, Neil, and I don't know how old your kids are, but it's basically a philosophy of child rearing that helps kids learn to think and make decisions for themselves.
Okay.
And it's amazing, because if you can take on some of the techniques that they teach, and they're pretty basic, and it's a lot of hard consequences and consequences that match the punishment or the crime, and just a lot of consistency, and which is a challenge. I think that's probably our biggest challenge, especially with a lot of kids, is it's a lot easier to sort of give in when we've put up a consequence. But I have myself am dealing with raising teenagers, and as a newly divorced woman, there's some changes in our dynamics where I feel like I was being overrun a bit. And so I've been studying with the Love and Logic Institute, and I went to one of their parenting conferences over the summer. And this is all coming into play with this new opportunity of a possibility of having sort of a mom role on reality television. So it's all lining up, and I'm hopeful and prayerful that it's all going to come together, because it really would be like a dream come true for me.
Well,
be back on TV as myself and helping people and families.
Well, I would find that really interesting, and it'd be great to have you, especially when I said we're going to do monthly interviews, to say you're back on television and you're back with an even bigger celebrity status. I like that. I hope that works out for you. And the causes are just fantastic as well. And I think that what you're doing, and everyone's going to say, hey, let's contact Mary to make sure we can get this going or this or that going. And when you're talking about your fashion show, when you're looking to do it again, you talked about other charities are looking to be involved in this as well. And I think that's a tremendous situation. We're talking about Rett syndrome before on our last interview. I think that's something where you know who does end up attending your fashion show when you ran your last one last year. Did you have any other celebrities at the event or people from D.C. that came out to support the cause?
Oh, yeah. Well, the last one I did was a fashion show. I had Mark Bauer, who's a big red carpet designer, come to D.C. We did it last May, and it was to benefit Cancer Schmancer. So Fran Drescher came, which was lovely. She's a lovely, lovely woman. And Cancer Schmancer is an organization that she started. She's a 10-year uterine cancer survivor.
Okay.
That a lot of people don't know about. And she went 8 doctors in 2 years undiagnosed. And fortunately, she was diagnosed with just barely stage 2 uterine cancer, and they were able to get it. But, I mean, she's used her celebrity in just amazing ways to get that word out of early detection and prevention. And so, yeah, she came. And then that, of course, Fran drew a bunch of other people, a lot of local celebrities, politicians. I mean, here in D.C., the celebrities are politicians.
Exactly. Yes.
So I had some good support from a few of our key politicians on the Hill, and my castmates were there to support as well. So I look forward to producing more fun, inspiring art and fashion events here in D.C. and just getting everybody's participation to make a difference.
Well,
about awareness, mostly.
And then so you're already in that process thinking about how can I help that organization again? I want that organization again to help Rett syndrome. Tell us again where we can find information on them as well.
It's the website is called www.girlpower2cure.org.
And that's something maybe next month we can discuss in a little bit more greater detail. We kind of touched upon in our first interview, but I wanted to make sure that they got a plug, and especially, and then also Ticks for a Cause, the website again for that?
It's www.tix4cause. So it's T-I-X, the number 4cause.com.
Okay, Marian. Also, where we can find information on you, and you see how quickly 15 minutes to 16 minutes go.
I know.
So fast. But, hey, you don't want to give up everything because next month you're coming back again, and I know you'll have great news, as always.
I know, and I'm working on a book. I'll have more development on my book.
Yeah.
I have a lifestyle book with a spin that's coming up. I'll tell you all about it because I'll be further along by then and a lot more things to report. You can find me on Twitter, Mary Amons. That's my full name, M-A-R-Y-A-M-O-N-S. And then the Labels for Love website is labelsforlove.org.
All right. Well, again, it's always great to talk to you. Really enjoy the conversation. I like this where celebrities come to me and we talk about their projects because, again, no one gives you that time. They always want to talk about the dirt, not about the most important thing, which is helping people. And, again, you guys use your status. In a way, you could just say, I'll just take it and just use it as I'm a star, instead of going out and helping others, using your celebrity status to help others and your ability to raise money to really help great causes. So that's why I love having you on the show and look forward to talking to you next month.
Well, thank you, Neil. I can't wait.
All right, take care,
Mary. Have a great month.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment. And I'm really excited that a lot of these celebrities now are considering coming back a second time, third time, to talk to us because it's so exciting to hear about those situations, isn't it, GJ, to learn more and more about certain celebrities?
Well, absolutely. And it's very difficult to cover, you know, in just 15, you know, 10 to 20 minutes of time. You know, a lot of the stories, the backstories, what's presently happening in their life, and then how a lot of our listeners are able to get involved with their various causes. And so it's limited time, so we're happy to have our next guest. And as you know, I've been working out and being trained as a sprinter. Yes, I said that. I've been trained as a sprinter. So one thing I learned is if you're going to be a sprinter, you better find the fast people in the world do what they're doing. So we've been very blessed to have some of the fastest people in the world on our show. And today we have a gold medalist all the way from London. She, you know, from the U.S. track team. She's been a gold medalist at the World Junior Championships. She's been a gold medalist at the U23 Championships. And now she's an Olympic gold medalist. And most people will probably remember watching the trials where she finished third and tied Allison Felix in that third spot on the 100 meters. And they were going to have a runoff. And then Jennifer ends up saying, you know what, I'm going to let Allison run. And the good news is Jennifer still got her gold medal. And so please welcome to the show a gold medalist, 100-meter and 200-meter expert, Jennifer Tarmo. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Excited to hear more about what you're doing, and I know we got a lot to talk about. So, why don't you just share a little bit what you're doing since the Olympics, and I know you got an event coming up in February, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, since the Olympics, all I've really been doing is probably resting a little bit and started training up probably some months after the Olympics, and now, although I'm training, I'm also looking forward to what's going to happen within my next season. I have a track meet coming up within the next 2 weeks. And then I have a couple events helping in awareness to HIV and AIDS on the 21st, which I'm really excited about.
So let's go right into talking about the event on the 21st, because I know that GJ really partners up with different charities and foundations, which we've heard about a lot in the show. So let's go ahead and talk about specifically the event.
Well, the event is a red carpet black tie event, and what it is to help bring awareness, raise awareness for HIV and AIDS, get financial support for those who are living with HIV or family members who are living with HIV and AIDS, and then just help to educate people on how they can prevent it and how they can just stay away from what happens and the dangers of HIV.
And it's very, very important to raise awareness, because a situation that happens, Jennifer, when we're not able to raise awareness that there is starting to be break breakthroughs. We are starting finally to see that we can treat this. Some people think it's a death sentence, right, Jenniba?
And I was just telling myself that this morning, that a lot of previous years, once you hear that you have HIV or AIDS, you automatically think that you are going to die because, well, you can't afford it or you just don't have the means to take care of it. So I'm glad that we're going to raise awareness for this and financial support for those who need it.
Yes, fantastic. And GJ, again, like I said before, when these stars are able to help others, they use their great expertise as a sport and have success, and then they want to help others. And I think that's something that Mission G wants to do as well, right, GJ, to kind of partner up with charities to help with their causes.
Absolutely, and that's why we created Mission G Foundation, and obviously you're also a director on that. So, and you know, the whole cause is being able to give back. And one thing I learned from Coach Dale Brown and Coach John Wooden is, you know, never forget where you came from, and always be, remember that you, wherever you, however you succeeded, you had help along the way. And there's a lot of times people aren't able to have the success that, you know, like many of our celebrities and obviously our athletes and the success the gentlemen have. And, you know, so always give back and pay it forward. And, Jennifer, obviously you're doing that. And, you know, so we applaud you for that. And, yeah, offline, obviously I'm going to be out your neck of the woods in the next week. So I look forward to maybe when we get together, we can see how we can help our charity, help your charity, and do further great things as well. So that's great that you're doing it, and you're doing it while you're still running. You got a busy schedule, and obviously in the next 2 weeks you got a big event. So that says a lot about you being able to make time to give back to those who are in need. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. They always told me, if you're a blessing, be a blessing to somebody else. And I just try to do that every day.
So tell us, people that aren't going to be able to make the event February 21st in L.A., how people all over the world can get involved to help out this cause.
Well, one way to get involved is to visit the site called Until.org or be the link, and then just raise awareness and educate yourself about HIV and AIDS and see what you can do to help your neighbor, anybody around you. That's the best way, honestly, to help is to educate yourself. So just educate yourself and find a therapy, find prevention.
And are you excited specifically about the event and to really get out and talk to all these people that are going to donate their time and money to be involved in it?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. I love to go out there and educate people and just show people how much I care about this topic.
Well, and that's absolutely true, and I think it's something that really needs the awareness and to go out and help in so many ways. And GJ's training for something, Jenniba, right now that's kind of funny. He's trying to try to take out a 7-footer in basketball. I'm 6'10", by the way, Jenniba. I'm a former professional wrestler, and I'm going to be out in L.A. in March, but GJ is going to play me in basketball, and he's 51. I'm 40, so I'm still no spring chick myself. But GJ, tell us specifically how training, especially your training in many different ways, training for sprinting and basketball, the time and effort, and then we can ask Jenniba about her training schedule.
Well, I train typically about 90 minutes a day, and 400, almost 500 days ago, I was fat and on the couch and had every excuse in the world to not get off the couch. And then a 75-year-old coach, Coach Phil Brown, challenged me, and along with my wife challenging me. And so for 477 straight days, I've worked out at least an hour and completed at least 2 miles. And then it just got me thinking, okay, if I'm going to be the best that I'm capable of being as a human being, I've got to be in great shape. And so it's become a passion for me to be in great shape. I really don't enjoy working out. I enjoy the results. And, you know, so I'm doing exactly what athletes do on a daily basis. And my goals are pretty small. You know, obviously I have no desire to be in the world championships or anything like that. And I think I'd probably be foolish to do that at age 51. However, you're right there in the middle of it. You know, you're training. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your training encompasses and how you provide that in your daily life.
Well, what my training consists of, it's a lot of hard work. Like you said, I don't really enjoy training because it hurts so much. every day I feel sometimes I can barely walk and I can't even go get dinner because I'm limping so hard sometimes. But I love the rewards and what happened. I enjoy the results of working out. I enjoy being able to say that I am a gold medalist. I have several gold medals throughout my whole track and field career. And I just love the challenge. You also said challenge, and I just love challenges. And I challenge myself to be the best that I can be every single day.
And that's fantastic, and I think that's the important thing, to challenge yourself to be successful and to tell others you can do it too. And there's not many people,
exactly.
How many people in the world in their lifetime would receive a gold medal? Not many could say they're a gold medal Olympian. That's something that they'll never take away from you, and you can take that all the way to the bank in so many different aspects. But specifically when you're talking about the training, the events coming up. So these are very, very important events before the World Championships, the stuff you're doing right now, the new track events coming up?
Yes, I have two track indoor meets just to 50. I'm just trying to get some speed. I'm going to train through it. And once outdoor season comes, it's where I'm really going to try really hard and run aggressively so I can get on that team.
Well, I know we're going to hopefully see you in 2016 in Brazil. And if that's the case, GJ and I are going to have to travel out to Brazil to cover the event. I mean, I know your agent was out in London, and I said, well, we're going to wait to Rio de Janeiro, right? Right, GJ? And we're going to wait to that so that you're going to GJ's going to fly me out too, right, G?
Well, by then we'll be flying private, so we'll be packing the plane and we'll head on out to Rio, and that's a goal of mine, is to go to Rio, go to Brazil, and what better time to go when the Olympics are going on, and especially with all these great relationships that we developed, and, you know, we become friends with, you know, a lot of these athletes that are going to be competing in 2016, so I'm excited to go. And so yeah, we'll cover it, and I'll make sure I get you, Emil.
All right, that's fantastic. So, Geneva, I guess ultimately another thing she's wearing, another hat as well, and we talked about this, and we want to partner up in Africa about this situation. Geneva also is working with an education foundation she's trying to build in Africa. What's going on in that process? We all know that it doesn't happen overnight and that there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, especially when you're training so much, to provide the time and effort to learn more about it. Where are you on stages since the last time we talked?
Oh, as of now, I'm still just getting the groundwork up. I want to make sure that once I file the papers and get everything started, it's going to be a really smooth road. So I'm budgeting right now. I'm making sure that I have the proper connections for money and for people who want to donate anything. I'm just making sure that the foundation is strong and set so that nothing can break this down.
And I know you can do it, and that's fantastic, and I can't wait to be covering that in Africa. I'm probably on the computer, but you never know about these opportunities. So, GJ, she has so many projects going on. She seems very, very busy, just like you. But, again, that's what happens when you become more successful in so many ways. You take on a lot more roles, right, G?
Well, absolutely, and the one key thing is having a strong yourself with a great team, and I know any great athlete, especially, you know, so if I'm training as a sprinter, and every time I say that, I laugh. However, I'm able to identify a lot of the things that are going on as a sprinter, and, you know, I have a great team. I have a great massage therapist. I have a great trainer. I have a great nutritionist. I have, you know, obviously I've got great products with Vitalis, you know, which is, you know, our company, and you know, my wife and other people. And then in the business side of things, I got great people around me. And obviously we wouldn't have this radio show if it wasn't for you. So surrounding yourself with the right people, it's a team of people to elevate, you know, myself and be able to have success and be able to do what I do and do well. And I know, you know, but you've got the same, you know, same kind of thing. Why don't you tell about, you know, your team and, you know, how you're able to persevere every day, you know, when you are sore and you're having trouble walking and, you know, you really don't want to go run again. How do you get through all that? And tell us a little bit about your team.
I think I have a really great team, and I think I chose people who I say are genuinely very caring. My publicist, she only wants to do things if she knows that it's really going to benefit me. And sometimes there are some things that I don't want to do, but she's not only a publicist, but she's also a friend who looks out for me for my best interest, as well as my agent who puts me into certain meets. She's always checking on me, hey, how are you feeling, what's going on, how's the body, how's the mind, and just checking and making sure that everything is just in line with what I need to do. So when it comes to my team, I think that they're really caring, and they're not only business, but they're also friends, and people who I can actually say that they could potentially be long-term friends and build long-term relationships with.
All right. Well, fantastic, Jenniba. One thing we say on this show, especially if you get on with my co-host, especially when it's the beach lifestyle segment, is what is your 90-day challenge? What do you hope to attain as a goal in the next 90 days when it could talk about your health, it could talk about your business and foundation, or also your sports. So what would you say, what do you hope to attain in the next 90 days?
In the next 90 days, this is the one thing that's been on my mind, and it's so funny, but in the next 90 days, I want to get a six-pack. I've been trying so hard, and in the next 90 days, I think I will have a six-pack, and that's my number one goal.
Well, go ahead, Jake.
Well, Jenniba, I'm chiming in. That's my goal, too. So my goal is to run, and you're going to laugh at it when I tell you the time. My goal is to run 11 seconds and 100 meters by the end of March. And also have the six pack, and I know I'm going to be able to achieve both. So we'll just be cheering each other, and we're friends on Twitter, so we'll make sure we keep each other accountable.
definitely.
Okay, Jenniba, where can we find information on you? I know you can follow you on Twitter and all those different places, so that your fans can reach out to you, and then also our listeners. Information, we can find info on you.
Where to find information on me? The best place is probably Twitter at Jenniba Sylvia, or my Facebook, Jenniba Tarmo. I'm usually updating those things quite often. And if you have a question, feel free to inbox me or send me any kind of message, and then I'll try to reply back as quickly as possible. Sometimes I don't reply, not because I don't want to, but I just have so many other things to do in my mind. It's just done.
Well, I hear you. I understand the same thing. And it's great that you respond and you're active on those two things because, again, like you said, you're training and working really hard, being involved in foundations, helping others, and keep it up and have a great 2013. Look forward to our monthly segment in March. So, again, I'm looking forward to it. And thanks again for calling.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care, Jenniba. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. You're listening to the Beach Lifestyle Show celebrity segment on the Total Tutor. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Radio celebrity segment. And I'm really excited about my guest because, first of all, because he's on a team I really like. I really like the Arizona Cardinals because of one of my favorite players in the whole world, and that's Larry Fitzgerald. And when Kurt Warner was quarterback there, and back in the day, I guess when your last coach was a former Steeler and a fantastic guy in himself, I want to welcome the program, Arizona Cardinal Kerry Rhodes. Kerry, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm excited to talk to you about, especially because our show is all based on, you know, their charity or foundation. So
yeah.
I wanted you to tell us about the Rhodes Foundation. What is the foundation all about?
Yeah, man, it's the Rhodes Foundation. I started back in 2005, and it was just a way for me to give back immediately. I mean, I got drafted in 05, and it was my first year coming in. And I just wanted to start out and get it going early so I could have a nice base to it, a nice basis, and grow from there, and let it grow from there, and let it blossom from there. And it's getting to the point where I want it. It's not exactly there yet, but it's getting there.
All right. Well, so can you tell me of the reason, what's your motivation for starting the foundation?
Yeah, my motivation is just coming from my family and my background and where I'm from. I'm from Bessemer, Alabama, and you know, I see a lot of situations there. I mean, when I was growing up, a lot of situations where kids were talented, had the ability to go do better things, and just didn't have the financial backing one, or just didn't have the right support, which is big nowadays. I think when you have that support, and not even just the financial part of it, but just the support from some people, from loving people and people that want to see you do good, you can go far. And me being able to be a vessel now, I mean, I'm an NFL and NFL player, very successful NFL player, and have the chance to give back and show these kids what it's really about. it was a chance for me to do it and start it. And I've always been somebody that said once I got to the point where I could help someone, I would do it. And I'm just following through with it now.
Well, absolutely. And I think that what you're able to do to help encourage these adolescents is fantastic. And it's something that truly, they definitely need that help with the backgrounds that they've came from, right?
Yeah, no question. It's just, there's so many talented people, not just even in the sports world, but just in life in general, doctors, lawyers, whatever the case may be, kids that have the chance to, don't have the chance to show their true ability and their true colors. So, just being able to be, like I said, a vessel for them and let them know that really can happen, you can achieve your goals, has always been a top priority of mine.
Being a former New York Jet, now with the Arizona Cardinals, how has the community of Arizona taken to your foundation?
Oh, man, they've jumped on right away. I mean, the fan base here is great. As a product on the field for the last 2 years, we haven't done what we want to do or achieve what we want to do, but the fans have still been behind us, and they know that we are human beings and we're real people, and they latch on to the other things, not just the sports aspect of it. So it's been great, and they're definitely one of the best cities I've seen as far as jumping behind their athletes and being supportive.
Well, that's great, and I think it's always great that you continue to do well even though you had to change cities. I talk to a lot of agents that have been in the NFL that are agents now that talk about the challenges you have to go through to go from one city to the next. You want to stay with that team forever, like Hines Ward was able to, or Jerome Bettis, but that's not the case always, so you always have to have your foundation ready to move and find a new place, right?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things with my foundation. I mean, I've been able to touch different cities. Touch as many cities as I can. I mean, like you said, you want to play for your team forever. And in this day and age, it doesn't happen that often. I mean, it's just part of the business, part of how the NFL has evolved. But when you have a chance for your foundation to translate and to carry over to different cities and touch other kids and other people in other communities in the way that I have been able to, it's definitely a plus.
So tell me some of the upcoming events for your promotion. What's going on?
Yeah, I have. I'm actually working on two big things right now. I have. I'm doing a black tie dinner in New York. Of course, I go back to my place in New York where it all started. I'm starting it back up there again. I'm having a black tie dinner. We don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be in May. We don't have the exact date, but it will be in May. And it'll just be, people come in, sponsors come in, buy tables. It'll be celebrity auctions going on. So it'll be a big event, big classy event in New York City. And I also have, I'm going to have my first charity softball game this year. It's going to be actually in L.A. So we're getting that kicked off, and it's going to be in June, in the beginning of June. And I'm having a lot of my teammates come out, a lot of other athletes and celebs come out, and just all in support of my foundation and helping raise as much money as we can to get these kids scholarships and get these kids into school and help them get their lives started the right way.
So this must be really exciting that they're willing to help out the celebrities and everything. And when you want to reach out, it must be awesome.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, those guys have always been – I mean, a lot of athletes and celebs are always been good at being able to give back and being able to hop onto something that they believe in and believe that it's the right thing to do. So once they see that and they jump on, you know, they've been great at it. I've been the same way. I mean, I do the same thing. If one of my people or friends or celebs asks me to do something, I'll jump on because, I mean, it's really not about our time. I mean, we have time. I mean, we just have to make sure it fits, but we want to help as much as we can.
So you must have a good team together to coordinate something like LA, right? I mean, come on now. Most of the people that have foundations I've talked to, they don't go somewhere like LA. They stay in Arizona. You know what I mean? So it must.
You know what? Yeah, yeah. It's you have, like I said, you have to touch different places. I'm trying to get myself out there in LA to do more because once football and stuff is over for me, I'm gonna go out there and be doing some stuff out there. So I want to touch that community as well. I mean, I've touched here. I've been in Arizona. I've been in Alabama, my hometown. I've been in New York doing stuff. So, I mean, I've also done Thanksgiving stuff and Christmas stuff for other cities. I mean, like Las Vegas or wherever. So, whatever the situation calls for me to come help, I'm there.
Now, the challenges of running a foundation, Carrie. A lot of celebrities, they they latch on to one. But this is yours. So there's a lot of time and effort that goes into it, isn't there?
Oh, no question. I'm definitely hands-on. I don't just let somebody run it. I mean, it's near and dear to me. I mean, like I said, I've seen firsthand. Without people without help, they can't make it. And especially in certain situations, they can't. So for me, I know I want to take it on and run it and being the everyday business of being a part of it. And that makes it, like I said, real to me, and it makes it real to the individuals that you're touching. It's not just my name. It's me as well. And that's a big thing, I think.
Well, definitely. And you have to, when you know it's your name, you got to make sure it's the very best. And that's so key. So what would you say is your main goal for the foundation? What do you want to see it happen the next 10 years, your foundation?
Next 10 years, I would love for it to make sure it has the staying power and it has Sensible Pod. It's still been there, standing strong. I had to do some upgrades and some changes, like always in any kind of business. But it's been great. I would just like for it to be where I can help as many people as I can possible. I mean, right now we've been doing a scholarship a year for a kid, but I want to get to the point where it's up to five a year. I mean, as much as I can to help those kids and be a beacon for those kids and be able to let them, like I say, realize what their potential is and what they can do in this world. I mean, that's my ultimate goal, just touch as many people as I can.
And being part of your foundation, you probably see that you specifically need to go out and be in a hands-on way, check out what's going on with the foundation. You said hands-on financially, hands-on all these other ways, but the other aspect is basically to physically go and check out the different, before the events, how the money is being used. Those are key things.
Oh yeah, you want to know where your money's going. you don't just want to, you know, hey, put this check in here and just leave it there and whatever. No, I mean it's, you know, my foundation runs off the income that we get from the events and stuff. So I want to know where it is and what it's going to and who it's going to. I want them to know that it's not just the name. It's me and whoever gets a scholarship from me or whoever gets help from me. I mean, even on Thanksgiving when I do my turkey drives and all that stuff, I'm there. Like, on Thanksgiving, I deliver this stuff myself. I'm part of the whole process. I'm not just hearing about it. I'm there. So that stuff right there, it just makes, like I said, it makes it real for you.
Well, definitely. It makes it real, and it makes it a situation, an opportunity to go to the next level. And that's so key, is to go to the next level with the foundation or charity to get it to where it needs to go. And I guess that what you're seeing from the growth and what you're doing, one of the other major things, you have a major celebrity trying to back and help you out with one of the events planned for 2013. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I have have a lot of people that jumped aboard, man. I mean, like I've had just in the past, I mean, I've had Cyndi Lauper come help me out with an event in New York. So, I mean, people like that you know, really, really believe in what you're doing and really know that it's a real deal and it's not just something to have fun with. It's really to help people. It's not just to go out and have a party or, you know, whatever, you know, how some people do those type of things where they're just having to get togethers. But for me, it's really about making my foundation a nationwide thing and really helping as many people as I can.
Okay. Well, Kerry, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is the football season. What do you see as the ultimate goals for next year? What's going on about this year and what are your plans for next year?
Man, this year was tough. I mean, we started out so well. We started out 4-0 and flying high and playing well on all aspects of the game. And then we went through a very, very rough patch. We lost a whole bunch of games in a row. I don't even know the number. So so it was quite a few. And, you know, to end up, you know, we end up losing our head guy, losing our leader in Wittenhunt, and getting a new coach now and Bruce Arians from the Colts. And, you know, I haven't even really sat down and talked to those guys and met them yet. But, you know, it's turnover, and when you have seasons like we had last year, you're going to have change. So you have to try to build from it. For me personally, I had a really good year, a bounce back year from last year. I mean, I hurt my foot last year, so I kind of missed some time. And for me to come back this year and stay healthy, get the season, play real well, and build off build off what I wanted to build off this summer, working out in the off season. I played well, and my season was satisfying from that standpoint. But I mean, it wasn't satisfying that we didn't get the wins and make the playoffs and all that stuff. So moving forward, I just want to have a chance to win. You know, I'm getting up there in years now where I feel that I got to get wins and get to the championship and win the Super Bowls, and that's what it's about for me.
So you are at this point where you're saying, okay, I've accomplished these certain things in my career. Now I want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I've won games. I've been to playoff games. I've been to the AFC Championship game before. I've been the highest paid player in my position in this league. I mean, I've been all that stuff. So I've been an all-pro player. I mean, I've been all that. So right now it's about winning. And when you get to this point, you know, you put all this effort into a season and it doesn't pan out. It's tough. It hurts. So to come back and get a chance to play in the postseason and ultimately win a championship is what it's about for me.
And in adversity, you're used to dealing with that certain adversity where you see, okay, this year wasn't great for the team, but I really understand that we have to go through these trials sometimes to get to where we want to go.
Oh yeah, I'm a professional, man. Like I said, I've seen it all. I've seen us win. Like I said, I've been to the AFC Championship game before. I've been through seasons like this past year, so I've been on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've seen it all, and I know that with loss and with seasons like this, there's going to be change, going to be turnover, and you just know that as a pro. So you have to be a professional, get back from it, bounce back from it, and just make sure you're always on top of your A game and you're giving your 110% to help fix that or right that situation, and that's where I am.
The Steelers lost a great offensive coordinator in Bruce Arians, and you see what happened to the Steelers' offense. It wasn't what it was before. I'm just saying, I can say that. Yeah. You don't have to make any opinion. We don't want any sound bites for you, but I'm wishing you all the luck in the world for next year, and I'm going to be definitely following your career now after interviewing you, and hope to have you back on to tell us about when other upcoming events come out and, you know, promote them in the best way possible. Where can we find information on you, Kerry, about your foundation and more about you?
You can go to my foundation. More of my foundation, you can go to kerryrose.com, check out all that stuff, and have all the information on there. I mean, if people want to also get their donations, I have a thing for that as well on there. But go to kerryrose.com, check out everything. I mean, I'm also on twitter.com now, kerry25rose, and I'm also on Instagram, kerryrose. So have a few outlets, and just check me out.
We're going to definitely do that, Kerry, and I hope that you can have you back on to give us an update in a couple months of what's going on with the foundation and also the off season and preparing for the next road. But remember, tell Larry I said hello, because that's say I want Larry on. Do you have to tell him that? And then we'll keep in touch via Twitter.
I will do that, no question.
All right, thanks again for calling, Kerry. You take care.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to the Total Tutor Show, powered by Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. We'll be back in just a moment.
A bit of history on them. They're both originally actors and actresses. And so we'll get into a little bit of what they did in the past and then how they became entrepreneurs. Scott has been an entrepreneur since age 16. Mona is a scientist, but she's got a scientific side, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And they became nationally recognized by being on the show Shark Tank, and they presented their company, which is Equinut, and we'll talk a little more about Equinut and what that is and where you can find that product for yourself. So please welcome to the show both Mona and Scott. How are you doing, guys?
Hi, how's it going?
Fantastic. So I guess we'll first of all talk about specifically in our time, specifically why you guys wanted to become entrepreneurs. So you take turns. I'll go with Scott first, then Mona on different questions. It depends. And whoever wants to answer the question, they can go ahead and talk. So, Scott, why did you want to become an entrepreneur, first of all?
Well, I just found it, you know, I tried working for other people, and I just found it much easier to come up with ideas and implement them myself rather than working for others. I found the money was more rewarding, and I had an easier time of it.
That's the key. Everyone says that, as GJ says, GJ, right? We say this all the time, G, right? That a lot of times we want to work for ourselves, and we believe we can make a bigger difference, right, G?
Well, absolutely. And most of the start out, and Scott, you hit it right on the head. You saw that you could to implement things easier, faster, and in a bigger way for yourself. A lot of entrepreneurs start that way, where they see a challenge and they provide a solution, and it becomes a business. So there's a lot of different ways that become an entrepreneur, and obviously, you know, you've chosen where you can have a bigger path and have more impact. So I'd like to hear more about that. Mona, so how'd you get started? And obviously, tell us a little bit about your scientific background.
My scientific background is mainly in the environmental sciences and actually herpetology, which is the study of reptiles and amphibians, frogs and lizards. But I never really pictured myself as an entrepreneur, but it just kind of came about. And Scott's like, Mona, you're really good at this stuff. You're really smart. You get these things, and you sort of naturally know how to do this. So that's kind of how I came into being. We started the company because I had very sensitive skin, and we sort of came upon these berries that have these great soap-making qualities, and we thought we could do a great job in terms of bringing these to the mainstream market.
And that's the key. Once you find out, you find something that you truly are passionate about, Scott, it really kind of gets you going and motivated to keep moving forward once you find that special thing, isn't it? Isn't that true? That special gift or talent that you found, you got to just go for it.
Oh, it really does feel good. Once you start getting, like, we managed to get into Whole Foods out here in California and some of the stores in Arizona, and, I mean, it just felt so good after we'd worked so hard and finally getting there. It's a very rewarding process running your own business at times.
But at the same time, once you kind of get there, you realize that there's so much more.
Yeah, there's definitely so much more, and so much more that you can go for. And I guess that's leading, JJ. I want to know, and I know you have some good questions, especially about the experience on Shark Tank. So JJ has a couple questions regarding that, and I do as well.
Great.
Well, obviously you started the business, and then you went to Shark Tank. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about the experience. And I'm a big avid fan, as I know Neil is, of Shark Tank, and a lot of times I've been an entrepreneur for 22 years, so it's interesting to see, the different dynamics, both from, the panel and the guests that come on that pitch their products and services. So what was the experience like for y'all, and what's happened since you were on Shark Tank?
Well, it's been a really fabulous experience. It was very entertaining going on there and meeting everyone and seeing it and going through the experience. And afterwards, once it filmed, it was a wonderful experience for us. We had lots of sales and came in contact with so many people, and we realized our message of giving out this great organic detergent got spread so much further than we thought that we could push it.
And
so it was pretty awesome.
And Mona, so I guess the experience, was it intimidating going in front of them? What did you think of that?
No, it was fun. Scott and I both decided that we were going to have fun and this was going to be enjoyable. And if we get some money, great. But in the very least, we would educate millions of people about our products. So we really couldn't lose.
Well, exactly, because it's like free publicity. It's something that you can't beat, and especially when I've talked to people that I've had that are Shark Tank contestants, and they say that their website blows up the next day. This show is so popular. So I guess, Scott, right after it aired, it was unbelievable, right, the response?
It really was, right up until the time the website crashed. And then it was like, oh, what happened? We did so much preparing, and we set things up, and still things can always happen. So it was kind of a real roller coaster ride, and then we managed to get it back up an hour later. So it was good, though. The orders were managed to make it through, and it was good.
Yeah, it was just thousands of people on our website, and, the next day and the day after that, and it just for a very long time, and our website traffic is now permanently higher. And searches about our company are permanently higher from being on the show, which is very cool.
That's very a good point. GJ, one thing I had one of my good friends, Mark Sullivan, that was on Shark Tank that GJ and I interviewed. We learned the first day that he got on, he wasn't expecting the traffic, and his website crashed, and he had to rebuild it. So, GJ, I guess that when you find that opportunity, you get that 15 minutes of fame, you got to go for it. And it looks like that they definitely utilized it to their best advantage being prepared, G.
Well, most definitely, and it's a good lesson to learn, and Scott touched upon it earlier, is that, you know, you're always learning something new, especially as your business grows, and a business is always ever growing, and it's like a living organism that's going to grow and grow and grow, and of course, as it grows, it creates other dynamics, and obviously, you know, who would have thought that, you know, you go on a show and it airs, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got this spike of traffic, spike of customers, people want to know more about your product and brand. And obviously it can create some challenges. So, you know, be prepared as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. You've always got to be one step ahead. And so I would say that's a good point to be aware of, you know, for our listeners. So why don't you all tell us a little bit about what Equinest is for those that haven't seen Shark Tank, and also where we can also find your products and services on your website.
All right, so our product is a berry from the Himalayas that naturally produces soap. And you can use this to do your laundry. It's certified organic. You take four or five of these little berries and you put them in this bag that comes in your box. And you just put that in your washing machine instead of regular detergent. And it works just as well. And it's great if you've got sensitive skin or if you're allergic to some of the more common chemicals. And, of course, it's great for the environment. But it also costs a third less than regular detergent, which is kind of unheard of with an organic product. So there's really no downside to using it. And then we, on our website, econutsoap.com, there's on top of the page, I think towards the right-hand side on the top, there's a list of our retailers. And you can click on that or you can buy from our website.
All right. Well, so here's the thing also. I always ask when I talk to Shark Tank contestants, and I'm going to definitely be posting this on Facebook, the interview, because I'm going to tell you right now, you guys get a response. Former Shark Tank contestants get a bigger response than sometimes other celebrities that we interview, which is very interesting. So I'll have to ask that about that celebrity appeal if we have a chance to talk about that, because you guys are celebrities once you get that 15 minutes of fame. But Scott, did you get any offers from other people after the event, after the Shark Tank, like people coming in and saying they want to invest in your company?
Oh, we've had a lot of that. We're still going through filtering through stuff and talking to different people. There's a lot of due diligence and things like that for that to take place.
It's something that you have to kind of trust who has the money, who doesn't have the money. And how has your sales gone so far since then? How much more have you increased since the appearance on Shark Tank?
It's been a really nice hit for us. It really has. I mean, the sales have definitely jumped up tremendously, and the companies that we worked with have gotten much larger as far as companies like soap.com and working directly with larger stores. So it's been a really good benefit for us.
And GJ, who is your favorite person on Shark Tank? Gee, who do you look at as a mentor? It goes back to our interview with Dr. John Ullman in a lot of ways. Who influences you on Shark Tank the most, G?
Well, I really, and because he's a sports fan, a fanatic, and I like his story of being an entrepreneur, obviously Mark Cuban. So I tend to cheer for Mark or some of the other guys. I'd love to hear from Mr. Wonderful, although as cold as he can be and as to the point he can be, I really respect how he looked at things. So I really like all of them, and I see the dynamics. But that said, you know, like Mark's story, and I can identify with Mark's story to a much, much more to my own story, although he's played at a much bigger level. So, anything else you'd like to share about Shark Tank and, you know, in the experience that y'all personally had?
I think it was a great experience, and I think anyone that gets an opportunity to do it will truly enjoy the roller coaster ride that it is.
Interesting, and I would say my favorite I've heard it on Shark Tank's Mark Cuban as well, because Mark is from Pittsburgh. So we got to connect, Mark. I remember when I had one of the people that was on Shark Tank, I had it tweeted out to people specifically, and if your episode re-airs or you have an update, I'll be like, okay, we just interviewed them. And I think that you guys will just continue to grow through this process. And